Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, lots of women's action, lots of super kicks, and lots of pens. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Good brothers and good sisters, we are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, and SoundCloud. You're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV. What is up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Tom is off this week. Gabby is sick, but fear not, because my good brother, Steve Kaufman, is in the house with me. Hello, sir.
I am in the heezy fo-sheezy, as a nerd would say.
I was just going to say, so whoever does not tune in to SmackDown After Buzz, what would we call them? I feel like there's a word.
I'm coming up with the word.
There's something that would
one syllable. It's
five letters.
They are nerds!
Okay, we never get to play Gallows and Anderson music, but we did this week, so nerds. We're excited about it.
Nerds!
Nerds indeed! All right, this was a packed SmackDown. Whew. This week. Lots of women's action, for one. They took over the show this week.
I'm excited. Like, I remember way back when with, like, the women's revolution, like, hashtag give women a chance. It evolved from give women a chance to, like, me hashtagging, like, give women two segments.
Tonight they had five segments?
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they literally had about more than half of this show tonight.
I'm about it.
Yeah, it was really cool. They did a lot of great build-up for the Money in the Bank on the women's side. We had still a little build-up on the men's side. And we know, next week, the final week before, everyone's pumped up. I'm pumped up for Money in the Bank. I don't know about you.
I'm adequately pumped for Money
adequately?
In the Bank. I don't want to be pumped now. Like, I need to wait another week to be fully pumped for Money in the Bank. Like, if I were pumped now, then they'd lose me Sunday, because then it's like, well, I have to wait another week.
Mm. Gotcha. Well, I mean, we'll see, because, again, we had the SmackDown going tonight. We'll see what they do with Raw, because Raw's just pretty much been the Rousey Nia show.
Mm-hmm.
And SmackDown's just been building everybody. So let's get into tonight. Yeah. We start off with the SmackDown Women's Champion, Carmella, and she wants everyone to know that tonight is not about me. Tonight's about Asuka. But everyone deserves to know the truth about Asuka. And she then plays video packages of what we all think Asuka is, which was all her highlights, into what Asuka actually is, according to Carmella, which was her last two matches, pretty much.
Kind of. I would argue a cherry-picking of three of her last 10 televised matches.
Yes.
Like, statistically, she wasn't even correct. Which, heel, hashtag heel, that works. It works because it's a video package and she's Carmella, but, like, the me that likes numbers is like, but Asuka's won plenty since WrestleMania.
She's done okay. She has a decent win-loss record.
Probably, but, like, it's hard to live up to when you're undefeated for 900 days.
She's currently 1,002. One of those two being a tag match.
Hmm. Well, she had lost a match before WrestleMania anyway.
Don't count a Battle Royal in NXT as a loss.
The Battle Royal in NXT where Eva Marie won. And I won.
Carmella won it.
Oh, you're right. You'd think Carmella would count that, but she wants to make the
Actually,
streak.
They could make that in the story. Why have they not done that?
Why aren't they doing that? Eva Marie eliminated her, though, right?
Eva Marie eliminated Asuka.
Uh-huh.
And then Carmella eliminated Eva Marie. Yeah. WWE, we just gave you more material for next week's Go Home SmackDown. You're welcome.
Yeah, they probably won't.
They won't do it.
They want to keep the streak at 900, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to talk about this one time in Florida.
Well, Carmella mentions that, based on all this, everyone's ready for Asuka. You're ready. I know you're drooling because I'm so hot, but you're ready for Asuka too. And then Asuka comes out. But before she could say anything, out comes Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And they talk about how Asuka is dangerous, but I was only a second away from beating Asuka, so I know what it takes, and I can beat her. And Sonya says, well, you left just enough of Asuka for me, so tonight is my turn. And then Carmella's like, all right, Asuka, which one are you going to pick? Who are you going to face? The old Asuka would choose both, but we'll let you pick. And then out comes Paige. Okay. So Paige, first sentence out of her mouth was, I make the matches. I'm in charge. Second sentence. Asuka, who do you want to face? I enjoyed this segment as a whole. I love all these people. Why did we have those two sentences side by side?
I'm the cool boss. Like, I don't even want you to call me your boss, but can you be here at 9 tomorrow?
Are you the teacher that wears jeans to work? Is that like you're the cool hip teacher?
Yeah, that's...
But still gives detentions?
Pretty much. Just okay. Like, I don't agree. Like, the state calls me your teacher. I'm your homie that teaches you about math. But if you're 5 minutes late without a note, I will get you suspended.
My little nameplate says Mr. Rosenberg. Just call me Christian. That said, you got an F. So, Paige asks Asuka. Asuka says she'll face both of them. So then we have a handicap match. Asuka versus Mandy and Sonya with Carmella on commentary. The entire match was Corey praising Carmella and Carmella making fun of Byron.
There was also a match, but there was
a match in the midst of this.
But we're easily 5 years into the experiment by which they essentially have a morning zoo from radio happening over top of usually the opening match, but most of the matches, especially when there's a guest, that it's just like a 4 or 3 person morning zoo radio show happening over top of a wrestling match.
Yeah.
But as far as morning zoos go, this one was pretty good. I also want to point out this talking segment with Asuka was perfect in the sense that Asuka didn't speak very much.
Yeah, all she said was, I want both.
Because the more Asuka speaks, the less we're enthralled.
And that's the same thing with Nakamura.
Yeah.
So like they did a little bit with that with her too, which is good, only on the babyface side. So we have this match. They gave it a lot of time. It had multiple segments. It was a competitive handicap match. Sonya took a nasty knee to the face.
Yeah.
But then, like, shook it off and speared Asuka. Like, damn! I know Sonya's tough, but, like, wow. Eventually, Asuka locked the Asuka lock on Sonya, makes her tap. After the match, Carmella runs into the ring, hits Asuka in the back of the head with the title, and then gives her a super kick and stands tall, which is exactly how this segment should end. Make Carmella seem intimidating, then we'll have one more interaction with him next week. Will Carmella be the one standing tall again? Would Asuka get the upper hand? Will Carmella just run away? We'll find out.
Only because I won't be here this week, I am curious. Do you think this is where they pull the trigger with Asuka, or does Asuka chase through to SummerSlam?
So you want me to give my predictions away now instead of next week with the predictions?
Perhaps. I don't. Where are you feel like? You don't have to be locked into a prediction.
Okay. As of right now, based on how it is today, Carmella will somehow retain it. I think this feud is going to continue. She might win. Like Asuka might win by DQ. So it's going to continue. Somehow Asuka's not winning the title.
That's fair. Especially what's happening on the Raw side with women. You don't want a lot of title snafus.
Right.
Fair. I think that's where I'm thinking too. Some type of banana peel finish.
Banana peel finish.
That's...
I know. I love that term. Miz in the back practicing his Miz Jitsu.
Of course.
Because that has a name now.
Thank you, Internet.
Yep. And he nearly took the head off of Mr. Bootyworth. And damn it, Miz, you should have finished the job. Because Mr. Bootyworth is my job title. I need to be Mr. Bootyworth. I can't be the same guy each week.
Has Mr. Bootyworth been the same guy this week?
It's been the same guy the last few weeks.
Okay, I haven't been paying enough attention to know the difference.
It's some guy in production or on crew or whatever that's always with him. It must be. They're not signing a guy just to be Mr. Bootyworth. If so, that's the greatest job ever.
But I am... It doesn't have to be the same guy every night.
It shouldn't.
I think there are other people available for the job.
I've seen a number of people on Twitter that have willingly said, without me pushing it...
I doubt it's ever come up on this table at all.
No, never. That Christian Rosenberg should be Mr. Bootyworth at Survivor Series.
I co-sign that.
Thank you. Make it so, people. Hashtag Rosenberg for Bootyworth.
I'll tweet that later.
Thank you.
Hashtag Rosenberg for Bootyworth.
I like it. So, Miz is annoyed at him. Out come the rest of the New Day. And they're just like, you're right, we play too much. We're not taking things seriously. We couldn't really decide who will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match, so we're going to let you reveal it by picking a name out of the hat. But be blindfolded. So he puts his little whatever you call
Andre,
headband.
Andre eyes that are actually Miz eyes.
Yeah, they're Miz eyes.
Yeah.
And then they switched the hat with a hat full of pancake batter. And Miz is disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, does everything in his power to whip as much pancake batter off his fingers as possible at the New Day, yelling at them. And you could see them holding back laughter. Because you know they are having so much fun with this. And it's great. And we're having fun because they're having fun.
And the true commitment to Miz, like, there was no breaking in Miz. Like, Miz was just like, yes. Nope, I am upset. I am angry. I have accessed a place. And everybody else, this is hysterical.
He's an A-list actor. He's the Marine. He can hold serious.
He was the third Marine.
But has been it for, like, 19 movies.
Fair. He's been the Marine for longer than the other people, but, like...
Remember when Ted DiBiase was the Marine?
They don't want you to remember that.
Oh.
Was Ted DiBiase the second Marine? Because it was John Cena.
Wasn't Ken Anderson a Marine? Or was that a different movie?
Was that 15 rounds?
Was that another 12-round movie?
Because Randy Orton was 13 rounds.
Chat roll, help us.
Yes, please help us. We need help.
We know Cena started as the Marine. We know Miz has been the longest and, I'll say it, the best Marine.
I'll take your word for it.
DiBiase was a Marine. Was Ken Anderson a Marine, too? I don't remember. He was in some movie.
Because Randy Orton was 13 rounds, because it was going to be
12
another...
12 rounds. Or was there a movie called 13 rounds?
I don't remember. I know 12 rounds was also John Cena, is what I'm saying.
Damn
12 rounds was John Cena. 13 rounds was the
too
sequel,
many sequels.
Not with John Cena, who...
Orton was one, and Ambrose was one.
Okay.
For that. All right.
And it was going to be a guy who had a bunch of great news today. Go on.
Yes. But... We have to talk about the fact that Carl the Machine Anderson, the good brother, took on Luke Harper. That's right. Hey, Harper and Rowan decided to compete in a match. So they have it. It was pretty quick. Harper dominated the entire match. And then he goes for a super kick. I already said that word tonight. You're going to hear it a few more times. Goes for a super kick. Anderson gets out of the way, rolls him up. To my recollection, the first loss by the Bludgeon Brothers on TV since they've come back as the Bludgeon Brothers.
I'll co-sign that stat.
Trying to build some momentum for Anderson and Gallows, heading to Money in Bank for their tag title shot.
I'm about this. That's what you got to do. And like next week, if you want in this world of 50-50 booking, if next week there had to be a different singles match where Gallows and or Anderson lose...
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, next week will be Gallows and Rowan.
Yeah. And like Rowan can win that match and then they're 50-50 heading into the tag title match. I think my cause of the moment has been tag team wrestling on WWE's main roster. I don't want to soapbox too much here, but like it frustrates me to no end that your tag champs are the Bludgeon Brothers and Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. But then the depth of your actual tag teams on the main roster, not even including NXT, are just so deep and awesome that you're like, oh, so you literally think tag teams are a joke, judging by the two teams you've chosen to be on top.
I don't think the Bludgeon Brothers are a joke at all. I think the joke with Bray and Matt Hardy.
I think it was written to be a joke.
Oh, no.
And then they took it real serious.
I love Harper and Rowan. I just wish they actually... use them more than what they're using. The lack of usage of them has made it seem like a joke. Because since they won the tag titles, they've done nothing.
Mm.
That's been a joke. But them themselves, Harper is the most underrated wrestler on the roster.
You're not wrong.
He is incredible. Rowan has vastly improved over these last couple years. Especially since he's come back from his last injury. And I love their build. I loved their... destruction. And then they won the titles. Okay, cool. Now what are they going to do? It's clearly so far nothing. That's the problem.
Okay, but I would argue part of the build was that they did nothing. But that was, I don't know, that was frustrating. Also, shout out to Dan Q, MQ in the chat. Mr. Kennedy was in the Behind Enemy Lines sequel.
The other one.
Because it was Owen Wilson in the very first Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh my god!
Yes! It was Behind Enemy Lines, like, 2. It was straight to DVD, and it was Ken Anderson.
I'm not saying, oh my god, of the fact that Ken Anderson was in Behind Enemy Lines. It's the fact that I'm thinking Owen Wilson in an action movie.
Owen Wilson? It wasn't that bad, actually. Was it Gene Hackman? I think Gene Hackman was the other guy, like, trying to get him out from behind enemy lines.
Hmm. All right.
It's all right. Welcome to the WWE Studios podcast here at AfterBuzz TV.
We have a quick promo in the back with Naomi and Jimmy Uso hyping up their mixed tag match that is going to be happening next. And this is Dissection. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for this week's Christian's Closet.
You look so good to me.
Not since the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar have we seen someone take advantage of changing their shirts for their locations. Until tonight. The day one-ish shirts of the Usos tonight were a navy blue and said Texas since day one-ish. And on the back had the state flag of Texas on it. They sold 18 million of these tonight. I honestly am surprised they don't do this more. Because I'm thinking more superstars should do this. Because if they get a percentage of their merch, people in the local areas want their own. Plus, online, you're going to have the general ones. Mm. And then the big cities or big states. Hell, do a thing where you can almost customize it. If you want, like, your little town, like my hometown of Long Meadow, Massachusetts. Say I wanted Long Meadow is day one-ish. You can charge me probably $50 and someone's going to make it.
You're not wrong.
Right.
I didn't quite think about it until now that I'm like, is this really the second case study though?
That's the only Brock one Lesnar? I know. Lesnar's been doing it for
like,
a while
Lesnar's
now.
The case study, but like, are we...
So right, you can cut the music now.
So they skipped from like Cena or Reigns or like The Rock. I guess The Rock kind of did that.
He briefly, I think, did it. But well, no, like Cena doesn't have one from like town to town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we'll see like next week or Money Bank's in Chicago?
Money Bank is in Chicago.
So we'll see. Well, I guess Naomi is in the Money in the Bank match, but the Usos aren't on the card, are they?
No.
Okay, so unless they're on like the kickoff show or something like that, maybe we'd see like if they have a Chicago since day one-ish shirt or something like that, see if it actually starts being a regular thing.
Remind me of this conversation so I can time code it 6 months from now when we're heading into like SummerSlam, which isn't
That's
in 2 months, but whatever. When it's the end of the year and like every person on the roster has town specific shirts. And we'll talk about how we pointed it out right here.
We noticed it. This is where it started.
This is genius, y'all.
This was the genesis of it.
This is the WWE economy show.
Yes.
We're workshopping the title.
We're here to help others make money.
That's all we're here to do.
That's all we're here to do.
We don't want any.
No, we don't need it.
We're your think tank, y'all.
Their success fills our pockets with happiness.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm a shareholder.
Oh, then you must have loved the last few weeks.
I have.
All right, that leads to our mixed tag, Jimmy and Naomi versus Lana and Aiden English. What did you think of this mixed tag match?
I'm not a fan of mixed tag matches to begin with.
Okay.
But, I mean, for what it is, I think this show has done a good job of, like, selling me on the stakes of the matches, when in reality there aren't that many stakes to the... Like, there aren't... Like, this match probably had the most stakes, where it's like, oh, these people have a thing where they need to fight about, whereas everybody else, it's like, you're going to be in a match in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. so let's put you in another match. Where it's like, what? It was all right. I feel like you're going to crap on it.
Well, I'm not going to crap on the physical match itself, because overall, I thought the match was fine. By the way, Jimmy Uso won with a super kick, hence the theme of the night. But there's something about this mixed tag match that really irked me.
Hmm.
And I know...
Ooh.
I know Tom is not here this week, but I have the urge to rage a bit.
What?
And I don't do the rage. Tom normally does the rage. I don't know, and I have back-to-back segments. It just happened. I'm sorry. So mixed tag match, as we know, men can only fight the men, women can only fight the women. So once Jimmy Uso tags Naomi in, Lana's automatically in the match. Why is there a double down where Aiden English and Jimmy Uso are both reaching for the tag? Because if one of them tags, the other one's automatically going in. So, if you're Naomi or Lana in this position, you should be just doing everything you can to hold them, preventing them from tagging. Because even though you're weak, they're just as weak. And the last thing you want is the two fresh people going in the match. And then on top of that, Naomi hits a flying crossbody on Aiden English, where the men specifically cannot hit the women.
That's a disqualification, y'all.
It is against the mixed tag rules. I know, okay, it's more common for women to hit men than obviously men to hit women. I get it. It's PG era. I'm fine with it. But it's got to, during the course of the match, it's got to be fair on both sides, people. Naomi is tough as hell. And she leaped over and took out Aiden English. And she's not supposed to. That's why mixed tag matches are ridiculous. Especially displayed tonight. Two things that made no sense for a tag team match to happen because it's a mixed tag. We all just ignore it.
You're not wrong.
You've said that a lot tonight, which I appreciate.
You're not wrong. I think that's part of what I don't like about mixed tag team matches is you're only so limited in the spots you can do before you get you to rage.
I could rage, because this made me rage, and I'm sorry, Tom. I had to take over your rage. You can cut the music now. I had to rage. My rage is over. I feel a little better now. But that was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
And
the match itself was fine, but why do they have that during it?
But that Facebook mixed match challenge had similar spots like this in the final that you just kind of have to get over them of like they just can't have men like hit women. That's the extent of it.
Well, I'm not asking for men to be able to hit women, but I'm saying obviously if they can't, then you shouldn't have the women hit the men.
I agree. I think that would be a fun, squirrely, heelish thing for someone like The Miz to do. Like taunt a woman into like crossbodying him, and then
causing a DQ.
Causing a DQ. We won this match. That's my Miz.
That wasn't the greatest Miz.
It's just,
it wasn't a terrible Miz.
It's an excited white dude. That's hardly... I ordered this 6 weeks ago. Like, it's the same guy.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened after my rage. Then Steve talked about a faulty Amazon order or something. But, I mean, do you guys feel the same way about the mixed tag? I want to know. We want to know, because leave those comments on iTunes as well as YouTube. Make sure you give those 5 stars. Like, subscribe. Like I said, tell your friends. Tell your foes. You know, be like, hey, I disagree with Rosenberg. What do you think? Or I agree with Steve. No one says that. But, like, we want to know. So make sure you leave comments on what you like, what you want to see on the show, because we do this show for all of you guys. So if you don't tell us things you want to see, then I'm just going to keep having segment after segment.
Pretty much.
And I know some people like that. I love it because I love hearing myself talk.
I was on an email thread. You pitched like 100 segments.
Yes.
We had the league. Dude, calm down with the segments.
We cut it down to 87.
Yeah.
There's we have 85 more on the show.
So many more segments to go.
So many more Christian Rosenberg segments.
It's like less than a segment a minute.
Contract signing, backstage, which I loved.
By the way, these guys have to work a dark match, right? There's no way.
Oh, of course.
So you fly them all the way to Corpus Christi to not work.
By the way, side note, Corpus Christi, they never get Raw, do they? SmackDown's there twice a year. I always remember Corpus Christi and Des Moines always getting SmackDowns.
I don't want to be depressing, but do you want to know what happened the last time I recall a Raw was supposed to be in Corpus Christi, Texas? It was the Monday night after, not Clash of Champions, Night of Champions, but it was the Night of Champions where Chris Benoit was going to become ECW World Champion.
Oh.
And they had to cancel. There was going to be a special 3-hour Raw that would be the funeral of Vince McMahon.
Right.
And they had to cancel it in the wake of that. And ever since, I don't...
It's always... SmackDown is always in Corpus Christi. And Corpus Christi is always a hot crowd. They always have fun. They always have good shows in Corpus Christi. But I cannot remember the last time there was a Raw in Corpus Christi.
Before that, probably. Maybe they're superstitious. They don't want to ever have a Raw in Corpus Christi. Just, nope, can't do it.
I don't know.
Last time we tried to have a Raw in Corpus Christi, the industry almost died. We good.
I should not be laughing at that.
They can get SmackDown forever. You can laugh. It's funny. Yeah.
Well, I like this contract signing backstage because it didn't put too much emphasis on this because we see so many contract signings, but it did its job and it gave Adam Pearce and Dean Malenko some good airtime.
I was about that.
I loved it. They just like kind of sitting by Nakamura and AJ is like, okay, you're just here to sign. Don't do anything funny. No funny business. I'm watching you. So Paige does the introductions for it. AJ says a little thing, very quick little promo about what he's going to do. He signs a contract. Nakamura grabs it, grabs the pen that's in it. All those pens out of ink, tosses it, asks AJ to borrow his pen. AJ grudgingly gives it to him because he wanted to keep that pen. It was part one of the perks of doing this segment. Apparently, according to Nakamura, AJ's pen is broken and tosses that pen. And this angers AJ so much. Not the mind games, but the fact that he threw his pen.
It was a really nice pen.
It was a beautiful pen. It was with the contract and everything.
Jeff Jarrett gave him that pen.
And he used it as a microphone to sing with my baby tonight. Like... AJ gets up out of the anger and gives Nakamura a sick slap. Like, and the camera caught, like, you didn't catch AJ's motion. It was just on Nakamura's face for the slap. Damn. It was good.
All of this was so good. Like, I enjoyed everything. But, like, because you can't have another match. You can't, like, tag team matches are pretty passe for something like this. Like,
you could have done, like, a pick your poison. They haven't done that in a long time.
I don't know. They literally did a face the champ to face the champ match, like, 2 weeks ago. That we're running at. They're clearly running out of stuff to do with these guys, like, in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Until they can build towards what is hopefully an actual blow-off at Money in the Bank.
Right.
Like, an actual final finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with this. I'm okay. And like, it just the simplicity to something so small.
It was just a slap. Pierce and Malenko drag AJ out of there since he already signed. And Nakamura is just sitting there laughing and then reaches in his coat pocket, has his own pen.
Of course.
And then signs the contract. I loved it. I loved this. This was, I don't remember the last time I enjoyed a contract signing this much. Because it was so much shorter, it was to the point, it was simple.
It was edited, because it was backstage.
It
was backstage and pre-taped.
Also true.
So they were able to edit the moments together. By the way, that pen, Brock Lesnar gave Shinsuke Nakamura that pen.
And he left it on the desk.
It wasn't that important to him.
Did it have the city of where he was on it?
Yes, Tokyo.
Oh. There you go.
Tokyo, Suplex City.
Charlotte versus Becky. Like we said, lots of women's segments and women matches tonight. Charlotte and Becky, multiple segments. They start out as friends, do their little tea time stuff.
Mm.
And I enjoy these matches because these are the ones like if when they have, you know, the quote unquote best friends actually face each other, where they know everywhere that person's going to be. So they just counter after counter after counter. It's like, how are you going to outsmart the other one when they know your every move? And you know that these two only gave, like, an eighth of what these two in, like, a build-up pay-per-view match would bring. And it was so much fun. I really enjoyed this match. Even though they didn't do a lot, it was enough with the counters to make me like, okay, so when are they going to have, like, a big match?
Yeah, like, we're getting the five-minute precursor to right. what would have well, been their actual match. Well, it was still, like,
12
match. Minutes. Yeah, like... But, like, even the two of them, like, going 35 minutes on a house show would be something to see. And I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
I'd be really excited to see that. These two are just so great. And then Becky kind of working her way, like, building up a big head of steam heading into this Money in the Bank match.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
all of a sudden she was on a big slump. And then she earns her Money in the Bank spot. And then she beats Charlotte with a disarmer. And wow, she got it by countering the figure eight. And Charlotte tapped. Commentators are going nuts that Charlotte tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. And then they, you know, Becky helped her up afterwards. They hugged and stared at the briefcase and still were friendly afterwards. Do you think there were seeds planted from this, though?
I think there were absolutely seeds planted. I think when you, anytime I, because I don't know if you've noticed, but I like to predict things.
You?
No. I'm crazy. I know. And anytime I see an eight-person match like this, an eight-person, eight singles person match,
uh-huh.
I always look for who eliminates the who eliminates themselves. And this women's match didn't really have any of that until now. Whereas now I'm like, okay, that's the seed they're planting. Because if the future is for Becky Lynch to face Charlotte, then neither of them need a briefcase. You know where they're going.
Are you sure, though? Because what if they do a thing where, let's just say, for example, let's say Becky, or no, let's say Charlotte wins the briefcase, mm-hmm. just for example. And Becky is the one to dethrone Carmella. And you have Charlotte immediately cash in on Becky.
Mm.
So it's there. It could be there. They don't need it, but it would add to it.
But what I'm saying is, like, as an asset, you have the asset of Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch are friends that can still wrestle each mm-hmm. other, and that Becky bested Charlotte recently. That's one asset. You can combine the asset, which is also one of them can win Money in the Bank and cash in on the other, or one of them can win Money in the Bank and the other gets jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a more optimal use of the asset. I have a PowerPoint. I didn't bring it.
Oh, did Gulak borrow it?
He did.
Damn it.
He's using it on 205 Live right now.
Oh.
But the more optimal use of that asset would be to leave it on its own and then find someone in the match that isn't doing anything. You don't have anything planned in the future for, but you want to, and then give them the briefcase. Because that's what Carmella was this time last year.
Yeah.
All the potential in the world, no plans. So it's like, well, that's who you give the briefcase to.
So you're saying Lana's winning the briefcase?
I don't think she has as much potential as other people in that match, but I wouldn't be shocked. Personally, I think whoever wins that briefcase should cash in on Ronda and become the biggest heel in the world. But people don't like to listen to my ideas.
All right, I wasn't listening.
Fair. No, but like, fair. I'm just thinking, like, that would be the coolest thing to do. And maybe, I don't know, I could see that happening in one night with Lana. Lana wins Money in the Bank by the skin of her teeth, and then cashes in on Ronda Rousey.
Do we just have a theme of guys helping the girls win, like Aiden English somehow helps Lana win Money in the Bank?
I hope not.
Since we had Ellsworth last year with Carmella.
Well, because I think Aiden English is the out for Rusev. We'll get to that when we get to that, but yeah. Like I think Aiden English and Lana and that posed split, that's the asset heading into Money in the Bank, mm-hmm. which is why Rusev doesn't need to win Money in the Bank.
Right. Samoa Joe backstage. I loved this promo. Says, what do you see when you look at me? A vicious man, a man with the conscience of a rabid dog, the moral compass so messed up he'll stop at nothing to get what he wants. Well, all those things about me are true.
God, Joe. I loved you.
Like, no. I want people to see a man who keeps his promise. Any man who's champion becomes a marked man. What you see is what you get, and very soon, everyone will get it. It was so good, and just the pauses. This is... To me, everyone knows that he's a good talker. Obviously, we all know he's a great wrestler. But I feel his cadences between his words when he cuts promos, when he walks to the ring, during the beat of his music, which not all superstars do, mm-hmm. it's the little nuances that make him so unique and just look even more intimidating and devastating than his wrestling already makes him out to be.
I just, everything about him, that he's a lot of people's pick to win Money in the Bank.
Sure.
And the only reason I think he wouldn't is that he doesn't need
it. He doesn't need it at all. It'd be cool if he does, because he's the type of guy that would just walk up. He's not going to run to cash in at any point.
No, never.
He would just walk up. But like you said, he doesn't need it. He intimidates people enough with or without a briefcase. Once they hear that music hits.
Samoa Joe is like, I think I speak for the internet wrestling community. Samoa Joe is one of the characters on TV currently that gets us the most excited.
I can see that.
Like, he's just everything we're looking for. Like, I'm seeing shades of, you remember how when people who were in the room when Steve Austin was down in ECW talked about how, like, how it just felt special. Like, it felt like fire.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of how this feels with Joe now, where you're like, he's just doing it. Years upon years of just his entire life is culminating to just these promos.
And he has people that do cheer him, but they also are like, they cheer, oh, because we're seeing Joe, yeah. Wait, no, we hate him. We have to boo him because he's a monster. And because you have they chant the Joe on the way to the ring. The Joe's going to kill you is gone.
Yep.
They have the chant that goes with the music, that goes with his pace, that goes with his cadences, and then he destroys you. It's everything. It's everything that's great. And then from that, from everything that's great, we go to Big Cass.
Yeah.
So, first off, Renee is standing up to the side of the stage, which was unique. We haven't seen this in a long time, of like an interview.
The Mean Gene. The Mean Gene position.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, she's going to interview Big Cass over there. But then the way they have the camera, their backs are turned to the entire crowd. Why couldn't they flip it? You're on a stage, have someone down below so they're not in the audience's way with the camera looking up at them. And this way, they're facing the crowd, and the crowd's not just staring at their backs the entire time. Didn't really get that. Now, this promo, over these last several weeks, I've been critical of Cass's promos because I'm like, it's very consistent. Some seem really good and emotional and genuine, and some seem, I'm tall. So, this promo, yeah, that's pretty much, I'm tall. This promo started, I was like, years ago, I was in NXT and I was backstage at WrestleMania 30. The one Daniel Bryan won the championship. And at the end of the show, I'm walking in the back to get my bag and I happen to be walking behind Daniel Bryan. I'm intrigued. I'm like, oh, we're going to find out some type of story, some interaction that happened to them way back then that made Cass always resent Daniel Bryan. So, like, Daniel Bryan brushed him off or something that Big Cass took offense to.
Treated him like a young boy.
Right.
Any of that.
Or be like, oh, one day you'll be able to be in this position. Or, you know, something that made him resent him, waiting for this moment. So as I walked behind him, all I can think was, seriously? This short guy is the champion when I'm tall? Why is his entire hatred with Dan O'Brien because he's short? It is 2018. This promo would work in 1989, and it would barely work in 1989.
This promo would work in 1989 if Jim Cornette said it, and Big Cass didn't say anything. Or he said, yeah, Jim. Like, if Jim Cornette said this, you're right, it would work in 1989 on Memphis TV. You'd fill 1,000 people, like, you'd get 1,000 people to come out to wherever they were.
Right.
Like, Big Cass saying it, like, I don't, this reminds me of some of those really bad Roman Reigns promos where you're like, oh, he's here because that's what they think the future is. And we kind of have to stomach this. Because,
And then the camera work also, like, so we're on Renee interviewing Cass. He cuts the video clip of their match last week. They come back. Renee's gone. Cass ate her or something. She just disappeared. And then all of a sudden, we have three different cameras on Cass. One straight ahead like we had. And then two on each side that are filming from his feet to make him not look 7 feet tall, but to make him look 70 feet tall.
It's going to be Daniel Bryan versus King Kong.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we have to make people think that Daniel Bryan is literally fighting a giant. And I get that's what they want to do, but you can't just now start doing that halfway through the promo.
I don't know. I don't want to blame, like, and there are people in the chat mentioning that this could possibly be them punishing Cass over Enzo. Or punishing Cass over the midget business. Because, yes, there's midget.
It's a little person.
There's. I'm sorry. In wrestling, there's still midgets. It's still unacceptable.
Gabby slipped that a few weeks ago, and she got a lot of hatred for saying really? That. Yes.
I mean,
you better apologize right now.
I mean that within the storyline. I understand that people in the real world who are that size are little people. But I understand that within the canon of the show we're watching, that word is still used. It may or may not be acceptable.
I don't think it is.
Believe me, people jump in my mention, they'll find proof.
I'm talking about on WWE TV. I don't think they say it.
I won't. If I cannot find it, I will apologize.
Only if you can't find it.
I'm under the impression.
You are heartless.
I'm under the impression. Heartless. I'm under the impression that that's a gimmick word. I don't mean it as.
I just so put you on the spot there.
I took it.
Anyway, Cass says that Daniel Bryan should do what he does best, play a garden gnome on Total Bellas, another short joke.
Mm.
And a little man will never survive in this big man's world. Cass, he's already main event at WrestleMania and it's been the WWE champion. Things you have not as a big man done.
Yeah, he main evented WrestleMania 30, an event you were fortunate to, like...
to attend.
Yeah, like, be around for.
That you were signed at the time.
Yeah, like, to be in the same hallway as him. Like, that's... wow, good for you. That's... I've only been in so few hallways with Daniel Bryan. They were National Guard armories. It was before any of this. It's one bathroom, the whole place.
Like, TMI. But yeah, and that's how the promo ends. So no Daniel Bryan. Maybe he was in a dark match too. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was just Cass gloating that he's tall. I was waiting. It teased me. I thought we were going to get some legit reason for this feud besides height.
Nope.
And we didn't get it.
Can't teach that.
No, you cannot.
Promos, you could probably try and teach that.
We can't really tolerate it either.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sin Cara. So we actually, by the way, this is three straight promos, and it's really interesting. We go from the incredible one with Joe to Cass with whatever that was to Sin Cara, where you don't really understand what he's saying, and then Zelina Vega comes in and saves the day. So Sin Cara backstage saying he's known Andrade since he was 14. This is not the guy he knows. Zelina immediately comes in and interrupts him. And she's like, look, I'm not some thing. I'm the best thing that's ever happened to Andrade. In fact, he told me you made him hide behind a mask down in Mexico.
This is so money.
Yeah.
Everything about this is money.
Yeah. And Sin Cara's like, no, you're wrong. That's not Andrade. And it's like, oh, well, then why did Andrade personally go to Paige and request a match with you next week? And right on cue, Andrade attacks Sin Cara from behind, beats the crap out of him, leaves him laying. I'm kind of surprised that this isn't the kickoff match for Money in the Bank, but they're actually going to put on SmackDown next week.
There's too many matches for Money in the Bank.
But no, but they're going to have a kickoff.
Even so, like, the kickoff is going to be...
like, will the tag titles be on the kickoff? Well, no, the Usos are not in a match yet.
But then the kickoff will be some type of tag... like, you would think it would be some type of big tag match and then a cruiserweight match. Unless
the cruiserweight title is going to be on the actual pay-per-view.
Unless you're transitioning away from the cruiserweights being on pay-per-view at all, which I'm actually for that. Whereas the cruiserweights only live on 205 Live.
I think that would keep them
special and segment the audience. It would make more sense if you could talk Fox into paying $200 million for 205 Live. $205 million.
That's 1 year of their contract they just got.
I know.
Spend a whole year on that on 205 Live?
But they get 5 years of 205 Live.
For $205 million.
For $205 million.
Ah.
205 Live is a fifth of SmackDown Live.
Oh, here's the problem. I did not gather the 205 joke in there. Because because the contract is actually 5 years, $205 million a year.
I know.
And that's my immediate thought. I didn't think, oh, 205 Live, 205. Ah. Steve with the jokes.
All day.
Main event, New Day versus The Miz, Samoa Joe, and Rusev. Chaos, as we would expect in a six-man tag. Everyone, honestly, there wasn't a ton from Rusev in this match, I don't think.
He was a little light.
He was a little, but it's just still like the presence of it. It was a lot of Big E, a lot of Miz. They were the main centerpieces of this match, Big E and Miz.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fun. Kofi gave an illusion to the live audience because it looks like he's about to springboard into the ring and then just jump straight back into a trust fall.
This is perfect.
From the camera, it looked so, like, wait, what just did we go in reverse? What just happened here? It looked so good. Towards the end of the match, New Day's going for the midnight hour, but then Rusev hits a Mashka kick on, I believe he hit it on Kofi, and Joe put the Coquina clutch on Woods, put him out, and then that leaves him alone in the ring with Big E. They're going to gang up on him. Miz grabs a platter of the pancakes, tries to throw it at Big E. He gets out of the way, and the pancakes hit Joe and Rusev, and nothing offends evil wrestlers more than getting hit with dry pancakes.
It's gross.
from this. Rusev hits a Matcha kick on Miz, and Joe and Rusev just walk out, leave Miz by himself. Midnight hour, Big E gets the pin, New Day gets the win as SmackDown goes off the air.
We're no closer to knowing which New Day member.
I'm fine with that. I want the surprise at the pay-per-view.
I want that too. I also like that you have to assume, especially with an 8-person match with all this fire, that any member of the New Day are likely not to win the match. They're more than likely not going to win the match. However, I think they're getting easily 5 or 6 weeks worth of leg out of.
Oh yeah.
Which member of the New Day will it be? Won't they be? They all get involved with other members in the Money in the Bank match. Mm-hmm. Next week, there's still time for us to do all 8 men on ladders, just discussing it like we've done previously.
But it's 2 separate shows now. So
then 4 and 4. 4 and 4 plus the New Day on SmackDown would be a bigger summit.
I almost feel like we should have, like, on SmackDown, a fatal 4-way next week. But then the New Day is just going to pick somebody and everyone's, oh, that's going to be the guy. That's going to be the guy. And it won't be the guy. So, like, whichever one is in that match will not be the one at Money in the Bank.
It's Kofi.
Yeah, so they'll put Kofi
in. It's going to be Kofi.
I was telling you this before we went on the air. I almost feel bad because as amazing as Kofi is with the high flying, and you know if he was in that match, he's going to have 2 or 3 moves that we've never seen before because he always does that. But I feel like the crowd would, as much as they love Kofi, would actually boo if Kofi was the one because he's been in so many others and they want Xavier or Big E to have the chance.
Well, also when it comes to suspension of disbelief, if Kofi's in the match, we're the least likely to believe that he'll win. Where's Big E or Xavier? More Big E. If Big E's in the Money in the Bank,
I think it's going to be Big E.
I think so too, but I also think Xavier Woods would be a solid choice.
Oh, he absolutely would. But, like, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm happy that we have one of the New Day members in the match.
Also, it's not like they're going to bar. It's a no DQ, like, anything goes kind of a match. It's not like they're going to bar the other 2 members of the New Day from being involved in the match.
Yeah, they might.
They're going to be at ringside. They're going to be around.
You don't know.
I feel like I know. I feel like all 3 of them are going to be involved.
That. Steve knows all. Well, we'll see. Real fun SmackDown. And now we have one more until Money in the Bank, which is quickly propelling to maybe being like the second most entertaining pay-per-view of the year behind Royal Rumble. Because Rumble's always my favorite. It's always been my favorite.
Rumble is usually more exciting than Mania. Mania is
a spectacle.
Yeah.
But Rumble and Money in the Bank, just because of the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why people are so drawn to it. I'm, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for next week's SmackDown. I'm really excited for Money in the Bank in about 10, 13, I can't do math, and a little under 2 weeks.
14 plus Tuesday from now.
12 days.
Yes.
12 days. That's what it is. 12. That's the number of the day. Super Kicks the word of the day. We got to wrap this up. Again, you could talk to us on iTunes and leave the comments on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Tell everybody about AfterBuzz SmackDown. And you could chat with us on social media. Steve Kaufman, thank you for filling in. How can we reach out to you?
People can reach out to me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I run 4 different YouTube pages. If you want to know which ones, find me on Twitter.
Find him. Talk with him. Favorite a tweet, even.
Do all those things.
All those things. And you can follow me at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Also, don't forget ColorAndElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code Rosenberg. Save yourself 10% on beautiful shirts like the one I'm wearing right now. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. For Steve Kaufman, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We will see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.